Bags down, spikes on. Welcome to the track. Hi, my name is Colin Waitzman. I'm going to be your host for this episode of Track World News presented by Track Barn. And today we have a very special guest joining us. He is your three-time national champion. He did the double this year outdoors, fifth place in the Olympics in 2020. Best smile in the game, Joseph Kambule. Joseph, thanks for coming out, man. Appreciate it.
Before we go any further, I want to give a huge shout out to the sponsor of today's video, Manscaped. As track athletes, we're going to be running tons of miles every week and can be really sweaty and gross after a hard day of practice, but those days are behind us. Manscaped just sent me their brand new performance package, which comes with the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, weed whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, crop preserver ball deodorant, crop reviver toner, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold all your goodies. Look, I've tried a lot of razors in my day, but the Lawnmower 4.0 is just different. Its ceramic blade helps reduce grooming accidents, LED light allows you to shave anytime, anywhere, and since it's waterproof, you can even take it in the shower if you want. When shopping with Manscaped, use code TWN at checkout to get 20% off your entire order, plus free shipping worldwide. Show up to your next meet looking good. If you want to be the best, you gotta look the best. Link is in the description. And now back to the video.
For having me. Thank you.
No problem. And so you're one of the few athletes that I've noticed that we use your full government name every time you're racing. Like, I never see anyone. It's always Joseph Kambule. The whole thing. There's a few. Same with like a thing, Mo. It's always the full thing. Like, so what do you prefer to be called? Or do you like Joseph Kambule? What's that?
You can call me whatever, just don't say my name wrong. You know, people call me Joe Fon, people call me Bullet, people say Joe the Show. You know, it's all fine to me.
There you go. All right, yeah, because I'm like, dude, he's a whole, gotta spell the whole name every time we're putting it out. Okay, hey, that's right. Good for me. I'm terrible at spelling, so it took me a little while. I was like making sure I put the H in the end that got me, but yeah. we're good now. And so, Joe, so let's get started right into this championship that you just had. So obviously, you performed the double. You defend your 200-meter title. For those watching or listening, you're one of, I believe, three male athletes to do that. So very, amazing task that you did. How did this year feel compared to last year when you look at the NCAA championships and everything like that?
This year felt more comfortable, you know. I wasn't stressing about, oh, it's NCs or oh, it's like a big meet, you know. There wasn't really no stress at all. It was just like, oh, okay, cool, it's another meet, you know. My body is more in shape than last time. So, and for this mindset for this meet was last one, best one, you know. So every race, the 4x1, the 100, and the 200, it was like, all right, cool, last one, best one. But yeah, awesome. And comparing that from last year I just had something to prove, you know, because people were saying that my start was bad. I can't beat Terrence, I'm too big. My top end speed is good, but you know, yeah, I can't start well. So it was like, no. Like, I can, like, I'm good, you know? And, like, I would have ran 19 at SECs, but I had COVID 2 weeks prior. You know what I'm saying? So I was coming off of that COVID, you know what I'm saying? And after that, it was, like, cool. This year was more comfortable and relaxed. And last year, it was more after show something.
Yeah, I mean, it's because it's like, okay, I've been here before. This ain't my first rodeo. We know what it takes. We performed at the big stage before. And so you mentioned it. Well, I got the quote. We'll get one question about it, then we're going to be done. You mentioned your start and how you always got annoyed. And in your interview with ESPN, I think every interview since the championship, you've talked about how, yeah, stop talking about it. It's good. And when I saw you in the 100, I was watching. I was like, oh, he's not far back. Oh, this is gonna be it. But like, we know how this dude closes. He's not far back. And then you had the maybe the best quote in track history with the "If I'm even, if we're even, I'm gone, I'm even," which we got to get that on a t-shirt. But how much of that did you hear of the bad start? Like, is that something I don't think people outside and fans realize how much athletes pay attention? Because you might just be a, you know, you're just a, you know, an athlete, or you don't pay attention. Like, how much of that did you hear, and did it, you know, get to you at all when you heard that over the years?
I heard it every race, every, you know, saying, like, I'll go back and I watch the broadcast, and it's like, oh, and Joseph, but another bad start. Oh, another horrible start. Oh, he gets a long time, you know what I'm saying? So I also read the comments from, like, these YouTube pages, you know? It's like, oh, if only his start was good, he would run 19, da 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 da. I'm like, I guess, you know? It's like, I mean, comparing it is like, if I'm like Sean from Houston, right? He's 6'2", right? But he's been doing track way longer than I have, right? And it takes longer for certain people to, like, get certain things, you know? That's what Coach Howie said in the interview the other day. He was like, I'm a baby, and I'm still learning how to, like, start and learning how to trust, you know what I'm saying? So this whole past week, it was just learning how to trust. And I read the comments. I read, like, I talk to people, you know? It's nothing that I don't see. I don't pay attention to anything on social media the week of, you know, because, like, I know what they say, right? And that's okay, you know. So I do listen and I do hear everything that is going on, and I do read the comments.
Yeah, I like what you said. I think it was with Sidious, like, hey, if you think you know better than Coach Holloway, you coach me then.
Like, you I'm saying, yeah, you call him and say, oh, Joseph needs this, woo-woo. And then, you know, like, if you think that you can do it better, I'm here. Florida. Games with Florida.
All ears. Show up to the school. We got practice tomorrow, 3 p.m. Go to whatever it is. Like, there you go. See how it works. Oh, yeah. I could only imagine, like, it would be, like, annoying. Like, oh, my God. Like, okay, you keep saying this thing. But, you know, it's clear, like, that you've shown progress, especially with this championship. I mean, could you touch on that? Like, because, you know, with this championship, you were right in the thick of it from the beginning. And I think, because I was doing a watch party, I was like, oh, no, Joseph is in a dangerous position. Like, you know, pretty early on. Like, how did those races kind of feel to you when you look back at it, you know, now that you've been able to see the tape and everything like that?
At Nationals?
Yeah, at Nationals, yeah.
I wasn't in a dangerous position. I felt like if it
No,
was...
I mean dangerous, like good, like, oh, he's going to do something dangerous.
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah. Oh,
that's what I meant, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was in a good spot. I felt really good coming off of Regionals. 10:04, right? And then 1984, windy, very windy. But that doesn't mean anything. You know, if I can do it with wind, I can do it without. My body just felt good. And leading at Nationals, I was like, all right, cool. The first round of the 100, I was like, all right, cool, great. I got Terrence from Texas Tech. I got Michael from Oregon. Right, Evan, some boy from Houston, and whoever else, right?
I think Makai Harris, too, was in there? Or was that a different heat?
No, he was in the heat with Faber Ash, I think.
Okay, gotcha, yeah. But it was heat one was called the death heat, like, from all of us. Yeah, y'all had a lot of dogs in there.
Right, and so my whole, to not put any stress on me, I'm not trying to sound like cocky or like arrogant. Like, the whole thing is win your heat and you be okay. You know, I told D, right? D, I told Edric at Regionals, bro, just win your heat and then advance. That's it. You know what I'm saying? And at worst, if you don't win your heat, you get second place and then you're going to advance. Right? So leading up to it, I was ready. You know, I don't really look at heat sheets. Unless people say, oh my God, look, you have Michael, you have woo-woo. I'm like, cool, I don't care. They always ask me, oh, Joe, what time do you run? I don't know. Like, Coach says run, I say, all right, cool. Coach says warm up, I say lin. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just, I don't really pay attention to like what lane I'm in, what heat I'm in. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm there to do my job, and that's to run fast.
Yeah, I come to the track meet, I'll sit in the hotel, and then he'll say, okay, you got to be on the bus at this time, you got to warm up by this time, yep. And then you're running here. It's like, all right, thanks, coach, appreciate it.
Yep, that's, I said we have an itinerary that has all the bus times with all the events, and yeah, it's like that.
There you go. And so then you go out, win the 100-meter dash. I mean, I know from the outside looking in, obviously you're running it, so you're not seeing it, but a lot of people, myself included, once we saw that 100 go down, it was like, okay, 200, that's a lock. Like that's really, that seemed like the 200 was your bread butter. I was like, man, if they allowed us to bet on track and field, I'm putting a mortgage down on Fombele winning. How confident were you feeling after that 100, you know, going into the two, you know, knowing that that's, you know, another, you know, bread and butter of yours?
There wasn't really like any confidence, I would say, because it was, I was gunning to win, because obviously you don't want to lose, you know? So I was like, oh, okay, cool. I ran 10 flat. If I would have run like 9.99, I would have been lit, like ecstatic, you know? Lit for like 10 minutes and then brought it back down, right? But I ran 10 flat and that's kind of slow. So it's like, I'm not, like, there's nothing to be happy about. I did the little, you know what I'm saying, this and whatnot. That was cool. I was cool. You know, then it was just on to the next. There was really no extra boost. You know, it was more of a reliever. That was like, all right, cool. I won. Next one.
Now, I'm kind of stealing one of our fan questions, so I'll kind of mention this. It was the from Catamaran 819, who was going to ask, who are you calling? First would be, so one, who are you calling? And two, was that celebration pre-planned or was it just kind of a spur of the moment thing?
I was calling Guy first. Then I was calling Grant, you know, because in 2019, Grant did the little thing, right? And then I texted Grant last night. We had a group chat with me, Fred, and Grant. And I was like, no, it was me, Grant, and the 4x1. And I said, Grant, I'm gonna do the Grant call with no interviews. I'm gonna just call and then walk away and walk out. And that's what I did. So obviously, you know, I had to do it for him.
There you go. Were they calling for you to try to get the, like, so what's it like? Like, was John Anderson like, yo, come on over here, we got an interview? Or like, what, like, how difficult was that to get off the track?
I didn't even see John. I was just called. Look at my trainer, Yolanda, and was gone in the tunnel, because Ulti said, Joe, after the 100, you have to come straight back here. No interviews, no anything. But then I was like, look, it's John, right? And she did say, if I win, go talk with John. So I did, you know, and then after that, I just ran straight through the tunnel, no interviews, just, you know what I'm saying, packing my bag and then went on.
There you go. Yeah, got another thing to go. Keep going. Something that was really awesome to see and just kind of hear about was how close or team-oriented Florida has been. I mean, we saw Anna Hall, like, she gave up the chance to break a national record to score points in the 400 hurdles. Like, you know, yourself, you've mentioned how, I mean, this 4x1 was more important than the other 200s because, you know, you're winning for a team. Like, where did that team aspect and, you know, when in a sport that is so individualistic, you know, come from for you and, you know, desire to, you know, see your teammates succeed, not only yourself?
The team aspect came from coach, you know. I would say that our freshman year, it wasn't really a team vibe, you know. So once people had left my freshman year, I was like, all right, cool. I'm going to, you know, instill this culture that we are some dogs and we're going to win. And every day, coach was like, look, we are the best. We run times in practice that are phenomenal, right? He puts so much confidence in us that it's second nature that we lay our life down on the line and we are selfish, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, becoming a national champion is first becoming a team player. And what Anna Hall did, team player. And then they won nationals. You know what I'm saying? She got second in the 400 meter hurdles, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, and she kept broken. She could have been selfish and not selfish, but like she could have did her own thing, right? And broke the collegiate record in the HEP. But instead, as you said, she decided to not do that and run the and score some points. So the whole vibe was from fall training. Coach was like, "Look, we are the best team," and yeah. He's just saying it in our ear. And when somebody like him says it, and people start to trust and believe and see the proof, more people start to lead by example, right? They are like they follow the culture and whatnot.
So where and how did you guys move these team trophies? Like, they're pretty massive things. Like, who was holding these on the plane? Do they go underneath the plane? No. Do you rotate it around? Like, where do these things go?
Adrian Melendez, he was carrying them around. I think he carried two around after, he carried one after ours and then the one after the others, after the women. But on the plane, I think he was just doing this. He was just like walking around doing this. And I think they were beneath the plane. I'm not sure. I was just on the plane. I was tired. So I had no idea.
Yeah. I mean, you probably, getting a nice arm workout in, during the, holding things up. No, it makes sense. So now I want to transition a little bit off the track for you, or a little bit earlier on. So it's not very often that you'll have someone that is three-time national champion, fifth place in the Olympics, but still might not have been the best athlete in their math class, because you went to school with Paige Beckers, right?
Yeah.
Who is also one of the best.
Yeah.
Joke. I saw you got angry. Like, no, it's Paige Beckers. You're one of the best basketball players in UConn. One of the best basketball players, AP Athlete of the Year. What was that like? Growing up in the same grade as one of the other top athletes on the women's basketball side there.
I was a grade above Paige.
Oh, you were grade above. Okay, so then never mind.
Same school because. Even in my grade, it was Zeke Nagy who plays for the Denver Nuggets in the NBA right now. Mm-hmm. So me and him had a class, and he's so cool. He is so down to earth. He's very nice. And then I see Paige come along, and she's over there hooping, doing this, doing that. I'm like, wow, that our school right now is kind of lit. Seeing Paige just grow and just be who she is. And not let the media dictate her, or not let, other outlets, she like stuck to her family, right? And stuck to her friends throughout the whole career, right? Because you go off to these camps and then you make new friends and then you talk, right? You just make new friends. But she came back to Hopkins and it was the same routine, She was talking to Moses, she was talking to Coach K, and it was the whole vibe. So seeing Paige, going to a game was kind of lit, not gonna lie to you, because NBA players would come and join, like Carl went, D'Angelo Russell went, and I was like, wow, Paige is putting us on the map. I always track had that like stardom, because I'm like, I was pretty good, but like I wasn't like Paige good yet, you know what I'm saying? But I was like, wow, it's crazy, like seeing another good athlete in Hopkins, I was like, wow, that's like wild.
All these people coming to Minnesota. I'm sure that I guess D'Angelo was in Minnesota at the time too. But like, yeah, it's not the first state you think of when you think of hey, where are some of the best high school sports? Oh, it's gonna be high school in Minnesota. Be like, wait, are you serious? Be like, yep, very, very serious. So and Joe Klecker too, I think he was at your school. Like, you guys had a lot of top tier talent there.
Joe Klecker, Reed Fisher, Evan from Minnehaha Falls, Jalen Suggs that played at Gonzaga, now on the Magic. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm saying Minnesota is kind of nice. at sports, we just get overlooked because it's so cold. How can you run track when it's so cold outside? This, that, and the other. Okay, cool. Look, we have a solid list. We have a very solid list.
What was it like then going from Minnesota to then Florida, where you didn't have to bring all your winter coats when you came down here to University of Florida?
I brought my one parka. I brought my one Nike Tech Fleece parka. And I was like, I might need this, you know, I might need this. But coming to Florida in July and August, horrible. It was like right now, it's sticky, it's muggy. It's just the air is just so thick outside. Today it was 95. On the track, it was like 110. It was hot. So me coming from my body being used to like no more than like 95 and a solid 95, mm-hmm. right? Coming to Florida, it was like, damn, it's different. Mm-hmm. Like I even had to go to the doctors and get like a heart monitor because like my heart was like beating like out of order. Man. And it was like, yeah, it was bad.
Yeah, it's like, wait.
Good though.
It's like, wait, we're running outside in January? There ain't 3 feet of snow on the ground?
I'm saying, bro.
Wild. So now got a few tweets. Got some questions for you on. Nothing wild. So you might have done some good sourcing of maybe getting some of the wild ones out there. But so first one, I agree with this wholeheartedly. So two-part question. You said this was February 11th, 2019. Some of y'all never grew up with a Game Boy, and it shows. So what was your favorite Game Boy game to play?
Pokemon Emerald. Pokemon Emerald was my shit. Oh, can I curse? Sorry.
No, you're good. You're good, yeah.
Pokemon Emerald, like, was the game. I'm a big Pokemon stan, and I still am today. That, and I had this cartridge that had, like, SpongeBob, and it had what other games? They had like different other games.
Oh yeah, it was like three or four games in one. Yes. Know exactly yes. what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yes. And I had that. I had Fairly Odd Parents. It was a lot, you know. But Pokemon Emerald was the game that I played a lot. And then I had a GameCube as well, and I was playing I played Tony Hawk. I played Zero Suit Samus. I played Mario. I played Pokemon. Like, it was just like, it was a lot. You know what I'm saying? So when I said that was, sometimes you would delete files and you have to start all over from the beginning. And it was just hurtful because you spent so much time and it's like, oh, damn, I'm hurt. But you know what I'm saying? You just loved it a lot. So you like played it again.
Oh yeah, if you ever saw like you forgot to put your like save thing in the GameCube, you're like, man, I just beat all them levels. I gotta do this. Oh, no way. Tough.
That's, yeah, very tough.
Very tough. Next one for you. This is from February 14th, 2019. So I guess you're on a roll this week. If you didn't sing the guitar riff to Pursuit of Happiness, did you really listen to it?
I'm saying, because like it speaks to your soul for real. Like, am I the only one? That riff is crazy. It's crazy.
I'm right there with you. Like, goes under. It's not. Doesn't get talked about enough. I think that, and like, I guess you could say some of the stuff from My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. Like when Kanye's riff there. Like,
there you go. You see, you already know.
Yeah. So get on it. If you guys aren't singing that riff, then you're doing life wrong.
Exactly.
Turn to it right after you finish this video. Then go to it. But you do that. All right. So we got some fan questions in here for you. Some people you might know. So we'll see. We'll start off with a fun one, easy one. Gabrielle Klein says, "What's your favorite color?"
Navy blue.
Nice. Well, there you go. You picked the perfect school for it. I guess that did that play any effect on why both your high school and college blue, right?
Yeah, blue.
There you go. Perfect. Awesome. Next one. We'll go to from Jasmine Moore, so teammate as well. She says, "What makes Minnesota so great?"
Bro, she always gives me so much shit about Minnesota is not that good and Texas is better. Look, Minnesota is beautiful. We have 10,000 lakes. It's quaint. We have farmland. We have the city, and we have quiet life, right? We have good suburbs. We have good schooling. We are known for like having like really good schools. You know what I'm saying? So it's like kids will grow up nice here. It's very diverse, right? The food here is great. We have the state fair. Arguably, we have one of the top five best state fairs in the U.S. It's pretty nice. It is pretty nice. You know, we have good scenery. We have good houses, right? There is no sales tax. So anybody who was over here trying to, you know what I'm saying, buy clothes and like shop out, no sales tax, right? I'm saying. We have the Mall of America. It's really good.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah.
I think it's kind of mid because I grew up there, you know, yeah. But to other people, it is, you know what I'm saying, kind of nice, right? And we're not far away from Chicago. It's like a 6-hour drive, but look, it's right there. It's drivable. And then we're right next to Wisconsin, too. And we're just, and we're touching the Great Lakes. You know what I'm saying? Plus, we're above Canada. Banff is beautiful. It's upright beautiful, right? And we have Duluth. The list goes on and on and on. I'm saying, MN is very nice.
You got to give Minnesota a try. You might have to work for Visit Minnesota after this. Like, you might have to get that clip and send it to the people of Minnesota. They can listen to your whole pitch. That was great. That was an awesome. Did you Thank write you. This down? Did you know I was going to ask this?
Thank you. Thank you.
There you go. Then next one we have for you. This is from Alahaji Bumbo, I think.
Alahaji,
you know. Alahaji Bumbo. He says, "What kind of juice do you drink?"
Calypso. Me and Alahaji always drink Calypso. So that's the one drink that I will always get when I'm missing home. You know, I would call up Alahaji and be like, "Yo, I got the goods." Calypso.
Any flavor in particular?
Blue raspberry.
That's a good one. I always see those because it's the yellow cap, right?
Yeah.
It's
like, yeah.
Yep. Yep. No, I see them all the time. That's solid. That's solid. Last one here then for you. This is from Mr. Coimain. Who says, "Who was your role model growing up?"
My role model growing up? The obvious answer is my mom, because you know she's been working really hard before I was born, and she's been going through a lot. So her seeing what she's been through and her doing what she is doing now for me and for my family is crazy, you know. And I can only hope to live up to what she is doing. All right, so that's what it is. That's my mom. But my other one was my brother Mo in Chicago right now, right? He went from winning state. Talk about a good athlete. Our whole family is full of good athletes. He won state basketball 3 years in a row. Like, come on now. That's right. It's kind of crazy. So he went from doing that and then going to DePaul for econ and starting his own business. And he's traveling the world right now. So ever since when I was young, he's always been like a brother to me because he's my cousin, but I call him my brother. And I would just see him work. He would call me up, "Hey, look what I'm doing." And he would bring me along his projects, and he would put me on. You know, this one time I was in Chicago on an internship, right? And he brought me to this Jordan store, and up top there was a nice basketball court, nice this, nice that, you know what I'm saying? And he was like, "Look, I've done worked hard to get here. Now I'm gonna put you on," right? So I, right then and there, I was like, yo, it goes more than just family. Like, he wants him to have a good life, you know what I'm saying? So that right there, that is somebody who I look up to the most. And I was on the phone with him yesterday. So we call every other day, unless he's overseas, you know what I'm saying, roaming around. But yeah.
them overseas fees will get you. So no, I respect that. Yeah, my mom would travel a lot too, so yeah. I definitely understand what you mean. I mean, yeah, that's very important to have somebody, you know, obviously, you know, yeah, my mom's one of my biggest role models as well as somebody that can, you know, show you what it means to be successful that's a similar age as you, of like, hey, look, this is what I'm doing. There's no reason you can't do the same thing. We come from a similar background. Of course you can be here. Of course, we got to ask, who's the better hooper then between you and him? Who's winning one-on-one?
He wins every time. There's something about when it comes down to it, he just locks it in and he just steps aside, hits a three, and he wins. But I don't know, man. I think I'm good, right? And then I play him and I'm not even good. You know, like, I'm like, it's just weird.
Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, I can hoop. You might hoop around, like, you know, at the courts, yeah, or whatever. It's like, all right, let's check up. It's like, dang, it's 11-1.
Nah, it's never 11-1. It's like 10-8. You know what I'm saying?
All right, yeah.
10-8, and then he would just sidestep. Oh, hit it. I'm like, I can't guard that. Like, I'm in his face. I can't guard that. Now I might beat him because he's getting older and I'm young. So I can, you know what I'm saying, keep up with him more. But the experience just locks in. Mm-hmm. Like, it just locks in.
Yeah, that could be, if you can shoot, that we see Ray Allen, all them players, they can shoot till they're 90 years old. You don't forget that.
It's lights out. Yeah.
Exactly. And so another accomplishment you had, you know, going to the Olympics, you know, fifth at the Olympic Games. I know, obviously, you always want a medal. You always want to be top three. Yeah, but what was that experience like, you know, going to the Olympics, you know, being able to represent Liberia with really cool uniforms, by the way? I went to high school with Wellington Zaza also.
Oh, okay, nice. Yeah, Zaza.
Yeah, yeah, so we ran. My best accomplishment is the fact that I beat him in triple jump once back in high school. Now, he was like a state champion. The only reason I beat him is because he fouled out all three attempts and I won the meet. But exactly. We don't have to talk about that. So I was able to say, oh, yeah, I beat. Yeah, you see that guy on Diamond League? Yeah, I beat him.
I beat him.
my claim to fame. That's all I got. But so what was that like, you know, competing, you know, at the Olympics, you know, representing Liberia and everything?
It was good. It was an experience that I will never forget. First time being out of the country, first time at the overseas meet, first time post-season, you know? I tell the story all the time. When I was in high school, I was watching Andre DeGrasse and Usain Bolt smile at each other. And I was like, I want to be there. I was like, I'm going to be there, right? And since then, I would say, yo, I would tell all of my friends, I'm going to the Olympics. I'm gonna run. I'm going. And they were like, yeah, you know, like, yeah, go ahead. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, woo, woo, go ahead. And when I was on my way to like doing it, they were like, nah, hold on, you like can like actually go. And when I announced, the whole high school was like, yo, congrats. We always knew that you could do it. And it was just good to see the support is like still there. But at the Olympics though, it was crazy because you go to the warm up track, which is like, I don't know how many feet away from that, like from the actual stadium. And it's like, you see people from everywhere and they're all really fucking good. No one there is a scrub. You know what I'm saying? Like, no one there. They're in peak condition, top of their game. And it's like, whoa. It's just like, you come to a humbling moment where it's like, at any given day, these people can beat me. You know, so let's not make that happen. But racing in the final, it was a core memory, I would say. It was my first time postseason where I went that long. I think it was like August 4th That was my last race. And I wouldn't say that my body was tapped out, you know, but my body was like, okay, cool. We have a few more in you, you know? And you know how I always kick at like 100 left, you know? And yeah. Coach was like, Joe, they're not coming back. And I was like, Coach, like, it's okay. They will come back. And like, he was like, no, they're not coming back. So you better go with them or you're gonna get left. And I was like, that's fine. I will kick at 120. My whole plan, kick at 120 off the curb, I'm straight. I'm cooling, right? Boy, was I wrong. I saw Kenny come past me, like get to me and then pass me. And I was like, damn, go again.
Keep it 100.
Yo, I'm like, on the curb, like it was at the top of the key. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, damn, go again. And I tried to go again. And there's for like two steps, the whole race went into like super slow motion. And I saw the people in the crowd. I saw Noah, DeGrasse, Kenny, Arion. I saw where I was at in the race. And then I saw like everything. And then it pressed play again. And I was like, damn, I'm actually running in the race. Go again, you know? But by then, they were 19.6, 19.7, 19.8. Obviously, it was top few or bust. But I can't get mad at what place that I got for being who I am and what and where I came from, you know? Now it's like, I'm better. So now I'm gunning for top three, you know?
You mentioned just now the photo of DeGrasse and Bolt smiling at each other.
Yes.
Who would you hope to take a photo like that where you're smiling at each other? If you could pick anyone else, you know, that would be running in either the 100 or 200, that you could have that photo moment where you're, you know, smiling at them, crossing the line, going into the final. Who would it be?
Who would it be? Who would it be? Who would it be? Who would it be? A cool picture. Me and Arion, you know, because me and Arion, we were training together leading up to the Olympics, and we're training now, you know. So if we're ever in the same heat, I'm looking over it and I'm smiling at him, you know. And that's one cool picture. The other one for the 100, I gotta say either Big Bro Fred, right? Or Trayvon. You know? Either Fred or Trayvon. Because then I'll run like 9.8 and I'll be happy.
Yeah, if I'm, he's like, hey, yeah. if I'm taking a photo with them, I know you get me in a good spot.
It's something fast, yeah.
For sure. And so last question I got here for you. So if, let's say you're the coach of Florida, we get all of the other sports teams, not including track and field, and you have to create a 4x1 with every other sports team. So you can take the fastest people of all Florida sports, anyone from basketball, soccer, whatever it is. What four athletes would you want to have on the non-track and field 4x1? Or maybe what sport would have the best one if you had to pick one too, outside of track and field, obviously.
The only two sports for that can run are football and basketball. Swimmers can't run. They are not land animals anymore. I'm sorry to anybody who swims. You can't run. Volleyball, no. Who would I have on it? Damn.
Are there many football players that are on the track team as well, or is there not much crossover?
There's not. Kyer, who is in the league now in the NFL, he did track, but not many football players be doing a track for real. I will give you this. Arian was supposed to come here for Florida, and so it was Noah and Josephus. If I could do within the last 5 years of 4x1 on who was here and who was supposed to come here, I'll give you this. Mm-hmm. I will give you Antoine Wright, first leg. Right. I will give you Noah Lyles, second leg. Or Hakeem Sidney Brown's second leg. Then I would put Grant on third leg, or Raymond Akewu on third leg, and then me or Arian on last leg. That's that relay there. That's something crazy. And but there were no other sports that does track.
And you guys could have, like, what have you all been able to be on the team at one time? Like, if everyone took all their year, because I know Grant obviously turned pro early, and that, like, what if there been a possibility where, like, 1 year, maybe your freshman year, I can't, because when was your first year? You were 2021, right?
2020, but then there was an outdoors.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, you could have, I guess technically, yeah, your freshman year, because Grant would have been a senior, and then Noah would have been a junior. And then Arian, I guess, would have too, right?
It would have been – Arian wouldn't have been
– Oh, yeah, because he's younger than you, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So it would have been only Keem, Raymond, Noah, Grant, Josephus, and I. That would be the six. If Grant took his last year, and then Noah and Josephus and Keem and, you know what I'm saying, Raymond too, it would have been us six. Yeah, a six.
Just I think you six could, well, you did it this year, would have easily won the national championship too. Just well, pretty much just you and Grant, almost you, Grant and Noah could have almost probably put up something there. Joe, thank you so much for joining us. It's been awesome chatting with you, hearing about your story, how you got here and everything like that. Where could people go if they wanted to learn a little bit more about you on social media or anything like that?
You could go to my Instagram at joefond.xi. You can also go to my Twitter at joe_fondbullet. And my TikTok is fondbullet. So I'm trying to, you know what I'm saying, put more out there on TikTok about my life and about what I do on the regular behind the scenes, because Instagram and Twitter are so face value. They're so, like, perfect in a sense. You know, so TikTok is more my behind the scenes content and whatnot. But yeah, that's my socials. And if you have any questions, don't feel too scared to DM me, because I will answer. I see everything. I see all the DMs. If I don't answer your DM, I just don't answer your DM. You know, it's just, it is.
Yeah, if you're going in your first messages, hey Joe, you can't start, hey, can I have an autograph, like, it's not gonna work well. So
yeah,
swipe to the left. Don't be a jerk. It's not gonna work well for you. Well, Joe, thank you so much for taking the time, really appreciate it. Excited to see you at Worlds. Are you doing the one and the two, or what's it looking like for that, or have you not chosen yet?
If coach says run, I say how far.
All right, there we go. You heard it here. Ask Coach Holloway if you want to find out what Joe's running. Thank you. Thank you, Joe. Really appreciate it. And thank you to everyone who's been listening. This has been another episode of Track World News. If you want more content, go and follow us over on Instagram at Track World News. We post almost daily over there. That's going to do it for us. Have a good one. Peace.